You're listening to the Floodgates Podcast, and we are live at Floodgates Forum. Let's go. It's been the best day
so far.
How's everyone doing?
Good.
We are here in Ybor City, Florida, live at Forum. We are so excited to jump into a conversation today. PK is hanging on by a thread. His voice is hanging in there, but you're still here. Showed up, and we're about to get a lot of wisdom and insight. And thank you for tuning in wherever you're listening from. We have listeners from all around the country, around the world. This is episode 10 of season 2. Wow. So we completed 20 episodes, and we're celebrating today. Are celebrating overall over 1,000 streams of the podcast to date. It's huge. It's big. God has been just moving in incredible ways through it, and we love to do this. And what we love about the podcast, it really makes a unique place where we can have conversations. Like we can't have on a Sunday with everybody, but really it's this space where we can have conversations, create community, and it's really a catalyst for change. We like to talk about topics that challenge us personally, relationally. Maybe you're in ministry, maybe you're not, maybe you're in the church world, maybe you're not. This podcast is for everybody. And so today we kind of wanted to dive into the thought, mindset matters. And as this weekend, as we talk about holy and we talk about what it means to be pure and holy, clean hands, pure heart, we wanted to take this moment to talk about our mind and talk about why the mind matters. And you see, I don't know about you, but we all have our different problems. We all have our different struggles, our different battles we face. But all of us, I think, can relate that sometimes our mind is it plays games on us. Maybe if we're honest today, maybe there's some thoughts we think that we would never want to share with anybody or talk about. And today we kind of wanted to create this space where we could talk about those things, talk about our mindset. And really, we wanted to share, really in scripture, it says that we have the mind of Christ. Mind of Christ. And I love that it says that we have the mind of Christ. And because when I first read it, I'm like, what does that mean? Now, what does it mean to have the mind of Christ? So many times, I mean, I know in my own life that there's thoughts and doubts and questions and fears and anxieties and all these different things that roam through my mind. I think a lot of us can relate to that. But what does it mean to have the mind of Christ? And I truly mean, I believe that we're not only limited to our own thinking, our own perspective. And as I reflect on the mind of Christ, it really encourages me that I'm not limited to my own mindset. That really, my perspective is everything. Everything I think, I know, you know, it's not everything. That there's always something we can learn. There's something we could grow in. And so we want to open this conversation when we talk about mindsets and truly how to change our mindsets. How do we take control of our thoughts and our mind and when it wanders, where it goes, and what it truly means to have a mind of Christ?
When you're thinking about what you're thinking about, you often realize that God's given you thoughts and inspirations, and it's really a mindset is what you start associating to what you believe in. And if you start focusing on things above, that's the passage, that things that aren't of this earth, that you allow the mind, the thoughts of God to be your focus and be your attention. And I think when we can put our things on our mindsets, on things above that are pure, that are noble, that are good, then that's what the outcome is. Because what you think about is what comes out. It's really what you're processing in your mind of who you are or who God says you are, who someone else says I am, or who do I even say I am. And we have these battles in our head, and most of the battles in our thoughts. We have these battles of, am I worthy? How could I be holy? If he's so holy, why doesn't he just make us instantly holy? and we have these thoughts that we have to go through and deal with. And so it's really just a surrender of your mind, but it's a decision every day that I'm not going to let my thoughts turn into my emotions, that my emotions will lead into my actions. Mm-hmm. But my thoughts would always be filtered through the mind of Christ and what he would do and what he would think and what he would say.
That's good. As we were kind of talking about this topic, we kind of came to Romans chapter 12. Yeah. In verse 2, it says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." And we really love that because it shows that we have an opportunity to transform our way of thinking, to shift our mindset, to renew our mind. What does it look like to renew our mind? There's many times where I've had to renew my mind. I've had to take my thoughts and fix them on things above, on whatever is pure, noble, as it says in Scripture, that if we don't take control, we won't know where it leads. And I remember when we kind of sat down to talk about what we wanted to share with the podcast, we talked about heavenly perspective.
Yeah.
And I think perspective is something that's very interesting because it's always interpreted by our lens and our framework.
Yeah.
It's very tricky when you believe everything you see, everything you think. And what does it look like to have heavenly perspective in our thought patterns, in the way we think? What is God's bird's eye view to our situation? You know, I wonder, like, I'm just a little human being on this earth, but what does it look like from the point of view of my Creator that sees every detail? He knows my past and my present, my future. Like, he knows everything about me. What does it look like to have heavenly perspective and look through that lens? I've always left different when I look from God's perspective. When I stop seeing through my eyes and let that determine what I think, I look at the situation differently. When I think of moments of pain and moments that I probably never would want to go through again, when I look at it from heavenly perspective, I'm grateful that happened. I don't despise it. I don't wish that it never happened. Why? Because from heavenly perspective, it truly developed me, challenged me, shaped me. And the same for you. What would it look like if you looked at your life through a heavenly perspective? If you shift your mindset to, how does God see this? What is God trying to do on the other side of this? Who is God trying to shape me into? And the next thing was a sound mind. Sometimes our brains and our minds are just so loud.
Wow.
So loud that sometimes you just have to quiet everything and just focus on a still voice.
That's so good.
It's so easy to get caught up in the loudness, in the rushness of the outside world and in the scheduling and da-da-da-da. Like, it's so easy. The moment you wake up, you're constantly getting hammered with questions. Are we doing this? Where are we going? But God has given you a sound mind, a sound mind. Maybe talk a little bit of what it looks like to have a sound mind and live with that when it comes to our mindset.
Yeah, when you're, isn't it interesting that it's so easy to see someone else's faults before you see your own? And really we start thinking about, if that person would just apply this, if that person would do this, their life would be so much better.
Mm.
But yet when it comes to our own heart, our own mind, we tend to give us extra grace. We tend to say, it's okay, because you know the intention behind it.
Mm.
A lot of times we judge people or we look at people's circumstances thinking their intentions are our intentions. But they're going through something totally different than what you're going through. And so when you have a perspective that puts God first, that allows you to think about, maybe that person's worse off than I am right now. Maybe they're reacting this way right now because I can't fully understand what they're dealing with. And like sometimes people go through things and you're, the reality we can just say, I can't imagine what you're going through.
Mm.
and kind of put yourself in that place with them. But have a mindset and have an understanding and have a thought process behind it, that this shift that I can think through, the lens that I can apply, is really, is it pure? Is it holy? Is it trustworthy? Is it noble? Is it right? And so often we're like, the opposite. This is bad. They're bad. Wow. Or pulling out the bad flaws in them instead of looking for the good. And so I think when you change the way you think, really the mouth begins to speak out of the abundance of the heart, what you have stored in your heart. But you're thinking about it. And then you store it. So then when you start having these understandings or preconceptions of people, is because you put these perimeters or thoughts that, oh, that person's dressed different, so they might be getting ready to mug me. Or you have these thoughts like, we're in a different environment right now, and it's different, so I feel a little insecure. Mm-hmm. And we start playing with our moments and our thoughts that really hinder us from being just love. Like, I just went and got a hot tea because I'm losing my voice, and the cashier remembered my name from this morning. Wow. I mean, just a little detail like that, like, wow, it was this name, right? And I go by Elvis when I order, so it's really not my real name, but it's my order name. But she remembered, and it's just those little endearing moments that she could have thought, oh, he ordered, I took his money, and next customer. Mm-hmm. Or she took a moment and said, I appreciate you. Thank you for coming back. I know your name. Mm-hmm. And so that would cause me to want to go back there again, because I feel like I could belong there. But someone took a moment to think that through, to have a thought that, wow, what I'm doing, I'm not just making a hot tea. I'm inspiring life into people by welcoming them and making them feel comfortable. So it's really a choice.
Yeah, I love how you say it's so easy to go to negative. Like, I think that's so important that we talk about that, especially as we talk about the idea of holy. Yeah. Like, we have to step out of really what our natural response is. And how do we step out of it? It's we elevate ourselves. We challenge ourselves. The truth is, you have a choice in the way that you think and respond and take action to what you think. You know, you may even have a thought, but you don't have to act on it. You know, you have control. You have the willpower to make the choices. And so I think a lot of that is so true, because it's so easy to naturally go to the negative. That when it comes to our mindset, you wake up and you just start already, and it just goes negative, negative, negative. And just naturally, it's easy that way. But how do we combat that and fight that? We have to elevate our thinking. We have to challenge ourselves. No, I'm not going to think this way. Maybe you were raised in a home where that's the way everyone thought. Just because you think that way now doesn't mean that you have to think like that forever. You know, maybe you've never experienced that dynamic and culture, that lens of living life and your mindset of shifting and changing and challenging yourself to change the way you think. You know, I don't think the same way I did when I was 14. Why? Because I've matured. And I think a lot of times we grow old, but we don't grow up. You know, I've heard a pastor speak a message about maturity. And a lot of times we're living in a world where people haven't grown up, but they've grown old. And they stick with the same framework, the same mind. This is how it always will be, but they're the same person 30 years later than they were, and they haven't grown. But what would it look like as we as people that we would pursue, God to tell him, Lord, transform me, renew my mind. I don't want to think the same way I did last year. Help me grow. Help me mature. Help me handle situations better. Help me respond better. Help me not be anxious when certain things happen. Help me not be triggered by certain things when things happen. You know, these are all real things. And it's easier said than done, but really it starts with that desire to change and grow.
Yeah, and I think you can, a simple principle to put into place, make it practical. Every time you say something negative, say 10 positive things. And so you'll get real quick, at pointing out the positive, because you don't want to have that practice over and over. But it's something that happens so simply, but really when you can train your mind to think from a different perspective, the positive starts to flow when you're focused and you're looking at it from that mindset and that perspective.
That's good. And it takes supernatural resilience. That
don't conform.
I love that. Yeah. It's God who does the transforming. So even when it gets hard, when maybe we go back to old ways of life and thinking, that God still meets us where we are in that moment. And it takes resilience to keep on showing up, to pursue Him, say, God, would you transform my mind? Will you help me not think this way? You know, when I look at my situation or my life, Lord, help me not respond the same way I've had in the past. Help me grow. Help God, would you transform, renew my mind, and let me see it differently. Let me see it the way you see it. And what would it look like on the other side? I believe we would grow, that we would be able to not just settle for that's just how I am. What if God has more in store for you than that's just how you are? What if we arrive to be the fullness of who He created us to be, and that is the mind of Christ, not just our earthly human brains and minds, but the mind of Christ. Yeah. What if the lens and the filter we looked through and lived with was the mind of Christ? How much more compassion would we have? How much more grace would we have? How much more peace would we have?
So good.
How much more peace would we have in our life if we had the mind of Christ and not just reacted to the first thought that popped into our mind? And so we're going to kind of transition this time into a Q&A. A couple things for the Q&A is, one, let it be a question. make sure it is a question. And two, we'll try to answer to the best of our ability.
Do our best.
But also, we want to give people opportunities to hit questions. And so Nina's grabbing a mic. And who wants to be the first one to go?
Say your name.
The first one to go boldly.
Who's gonna go
when
first?
It comes to mindset? You know, when it comes to holy, everything we've been talking about. Here we go, right here. Let's get up for Nina.
Awesome.
Let's go, Nina.
I almost kind of think, can I be holy? I can be good. I can strive for holiness, but can I actually be holy? I mean, and keep it up at the same time. But kind of thing. So that's kind of a question on holy.
The first thought that comes to my mind, you could probably answer that too, is, can you be made new? You know? The beauty of giving your life to Jesus is that in one moment, He makes you a new creation. The Bible says the old is gone, the new is here. So, I would believe that we could attempt with every fiber in our being to be holy. Will it ever live up to His fullness? I don't know. I don't think we could compare on a scale. I mean, He's always God, and it seems very beyond us. But I do believe that we could live daily with that posture and that passion to say, God, make me holy like you are. Today, don't make me like myself or everything I know. Make me holy. I want to be the example of you. I want to be example of how you love, of how you lived, and truly be you and bring you to earth. And I think through that process, I do believe we can grow in our holiness each and every day, that we would become more holy like he is. And until one day when we go to see him face to face, and that I think that will be the fulfillment of pure holiness of when we're singing holy, holy, holy. But until that day comes, each and every day, make me holy, Lord. Like, my mindsets, the way I live, all of these things, change me daily and grow me.
Yeah, and he says, "I'm holy, therefore be holy." And so we can have a level of holiness in our attitude, our hearts, our mind, and you're we can't confuse holiness with glory or splendor or even honor due to his name.
That's good.
But the holy part of you can be set apart.
Yep.
I think that's what holiness means. You're choosing to not conform to the patterns of the world. You're choosing to be set apart and strive for holiness. Mm. And that's your goal.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
I'm just connecting the two, having a mind of Christ and knowing and appreciating rest. And that's something that I feel like God has been talking to me a lot about. And it was confirmed earlier today about Sabbath. That is something that I would like to practice. So my question is about the Sabbath, because I've heard you mentioned it before. So how do you prioritize Sabbath in your life?
For me, I find a 24-hour period where I don't focus on producing. I think that, especially in the world we live in, it's very, let's go, let's produce, let's make, put it out, keep on going, and just constant pouring out. So my Sabbath looks like, it looks differently week to week, but it's always a 24-hour period. It's not necessarily the same day. I try to make it the same day weekly, but sometimes scheduling affects that. And so I would say try to set a period of 24 hours where you do things that are restful and fill you up. Yeah. So sometimes for me, it will be having a conversation with a friend, you know, that moment of like sharing and investing in relationships. That's not like, that's life giving, not taking. Yeah. And so the Sabbath, the point of that is to not produce and say, okay, how can I make this relationship so I can do X, Y, Z? It's more of like, how can I just get coffee with somebody, you know? Or maybe I'll go on a date with my wife, or I'll spend time with Jesus. I'll go on a walk and walk for like an hour sometimes and just sit in that moment. And everyone has a different thing of what rest looks like to them. I'll go to the gym. You know, that's not me producing, but that's an outlet where I can kind of rest as well. So
yeah, for us, we take Fridays and we just dedicate it to rest, time of rest where you're not, like you said, producing like work, ministry. That doesn't mean you don't move around or go anywhere. It just means, like you said, you do things from a perspective of I can sit here, I can talk, I can move. I don't have to be forced to an agenda or a time scale. And so I think for us, the Sabbath is very important, that Jesus rested. God rested after he created the heavens and the earth and humanity. And so I think it's needed, and it allows us to be renewed. It allows us to be refreshed and refueled.
Anybody else?
Got one right here.
My question is, we live in like a very diverse culture, a bunch of backgrounds, different nationalities, ethnicities, and things like that. So and obviously political views recently, the election.
Right.
My question is, how do you guys maintain a kingdom mindset through all of the noise?
question.
You want to go first?
That's a good question. Let's see. Well, I have the privilege of growing up overseas, and so I've been introduced to a lot of different cultures and backgrounds. And so for me, it's a little easier than some other people because I can relate to people from different perspectives. But I think it's just like the verse we read in Romans, not to conform. Because when you start conforming, you start letting down valuable morals and principles that go against God's word. So anytime something comes that doesn't line up with God's truth, his word, then just don't partake. Don't get involved. It's not worth it. But just talk with people because there are going to be perspectives and differences. I know in our last years, we've reached a lot of people who don't even believe in God. Mm-hmm. They'll come to me and it's like, PK, I love you, but Jesus doesn't exist. And I'm like, okay. And they were like, I'll prove it to you. Over time, you'll kind of let me down or you'll do something. And then over the years, they say, wow, Jesus is real. And I've baptized several. They give their lives to the Lord. And so I think it's very important not to just be so religious and like so dogmatic on certain political views or stances, but not compromise the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To add to that, I think there's a fine line that you can walk of hearing people but not agreeing with people. Yeah. And I think a lot of times we think when we have a conversation with someone, we have to come to a resolution of this is what we have agreed upon. Yeah. But that's not a conversation. That's more of a, like a negotiation.
Right.
Like, this is my view. This is your. How can we meet in the middle and compromise so we can leave here? But that's not a conversation. And so for me, it's more of shifting my mindset to having a conversation with someone, but not making myself have to agree with them, but still being able to hear them, understand them, even not, but you can understand someone with not agreeing with them.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's really having those conversations with people, but always reminding myself of the truth.
Yeah.
Because if not, you get caught up with hearing so many that you might get warped in not knowing what do I believe. You know, you always have to have that firm foundation, that cornerstone. And then from that place, you're able to have those kind of conversations. Who else? Gio.
So we were talking about like positive thinking and like positive outlook. I know that most of you know spiritual growth and like you know spiritual meditation comes from like introspection and like being with yourself. And obviously, negative self-talk will come from the devil and is like you know not you know from God. How do you circumvent that? How do you get past that? How do you ground yourself in positivity, essentially?
The moments where I start getting negative self-talk, I go to people that can speak life into me.
Yeah, that's great.
Because the moment I'm speaking negative to me, I need a positive input. And if I'm not a place to do that, I need the people that know me best. And you have to have that circle of people that know you in the way that they can speak into you because they know who I truly am. And at that moment of negative talk, you're not being who God created you to be. So that is not you. You know, those thoughts are not your identity. And so you have to have people that are able to speak into your identity in that moment when you're not capable of. Who else? Last question.
I'm glad you answered that one.
One more. Last question. All right, right here.
I'm going to piggyback on to what she was talking about Sunday and the Sabbath. Well, not Sunday, but Sabbath and how you create the Sabbath. Well, I know you guys are ministry, so your Sabbath is like our Sabbath. I mean, in the sense that you work on your Sabbath.
Right.
And we go to our Sabbath. And so how do we, being as a layman, and not thinking as your individuals, but as us, how do we create our Sabbath? I mean, like, my Sabbath is, like, on church. I go to church on Sunday. And then, but I don't think I really have anything else. I love the Lord, and I praise Him, and I don't think I take time out. I mean, I sleep in. But, I mean, it's not the same. But anyways, what do you think about that? Because you're talking about your perspective, and she asked for that.
Right.
And which was great. But my perspective is, like, if you weren't who you were, in the sense, I know you weren't ministry all your life. I mean, you were ministry, but you weren't. But how would you do your Sabbath, in the sense of if you were not in ministry and you had Sunday as work?
So you're saying if we were not in ministry, when would we take it?
Yeah, when would be what would be your Sabbath?
Yeah.
I mean, my Sabbath is going to church. You could.
Well,
set it apart.
Yeah, I think
for me, on the Sunday is the first day of the week that we go to God, and so that's a place where you worship and you serve and you bring people to God. The Sabbath that God's talking about is an actual day of rest where you in the Old Testament, I mean, you did no work. To the point that you wouldn't even help somebody if they fell in a hole. I mean, it got to a point so drastic that you couldn't even do something good. It was because I'm on Sabbath. And so I think Jesus came and he changed the whole perspective of it, not taking away the importance of it. The rest part is important, but not to be religious about it.
Yeah.
And not to be critical about it. Like, there are certain things you can't control, and you'll be on a day of Sabbath, a rest. And it's more of that, just setting time to be with God, to renew, to refresh, to restore, to rest, and not be, you know, if you work on Monday through Friday, maybe your Saturday is your Sabbath. Mm-hmm. If you're working Tuesday through, when I was out of ministry in law enforcement, I worked Tuesday through Sunday. I was off Monday and Sunday, Monday. And so it just depends on your work. There's doctors that have different shifts and have to different work. So I think it just goes back to a decision that I'm going to take. God's math is so great because He says you can do more in 6 days than you can in 7. Mm-hmm. And He also says you can do more with 9 than you can with 10. And so when we start thinking about mathematically or numerically, it doesn't make any sense. How can I accomplish more in 6 days? Because you chose to rest in God. And that can be reading, praying, studying, sleeping, rest, you know, disconnect from your busy schedule. And it, whatever day you choose to do that, I think it's between you and God.
Yeah. As long as it's just one day, you choose whatever, what day you can assign to that. Amazing. This has been so much fun being able to talk and
First live podcast. You guys are trendsetters, pioneering in Forum 2024.
Thank you so much for being here. For those listening on the pod, thank you so much for listening to this episode. It's been such a great day at Forum. We're so expectant for what God is going to do. I know that we're all going to leave better because of this. And so thank you for listening. Continue to live by faith, be known by love, and be a beacon of hope. We'll see you next time.